Friends, namaste, and another Sunday, 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time, and welcome to our program, Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga, on our Virat Hindustan Sangam social media channels. We are on our 161st episode of our series, which we have every Sunday with Dr. Swami. And today's topic is the emergency 1975-77, how it happened, how to ensure it won't happen again. So this is the discussion. As you all know, this is today and this week has been the anniversary of the emergency that was imposed in June 1975 by Srimati Indira Gandhi, the then Prime Minister. And we were all motivated by that one slogan during the emergency: Andhere mein ek prakash, jai prakash, jai prakash. And that kept the movement going. And as you all know, a lot of volunteers, especially of the RSS and other opposition parties then, were arrested. There were court arresting going on. The RSS contribute the largest number of people that were detained during the emergency. And beside the RSS, the Akali Dal also, on a systematic basis, had courted arrest. And as you know, what happened between those dark days and in when it was then relaxed in around March 1977. Dr. Swami has been one of the persons who opposed the emergency. And as you know, his role in exiting India undetected, re-entering India undetected, making a dramatic appearance in Parliament on 10th of August 1976, and then again going back abroad. All this is part of history. We will today be discussing how it happened and why it should not happen and how to ensure that it not happen again. I have to thank my co-host, Professor Arvind Chaturvedi from Delhi, Ramesh Swami, and also the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Tejas Navalgul, Ishwar Iyer, Swami Nathan, Rakesh Gadgi, Vishal Mehta, and Ajesh Nair for their inputs for every program we put together and webcast, telecast on every Sunday. So with these words, it is over to Dr. Swami, the hero of the emergency, to tell us about today's subject. Thank you. Dhanyavaad.
Thank you very much, Jagdish. The emergency lasted 20 months. It was formally declared on 26th June of 1975, and it ended in March. After the Janata won the elections, March 24th, when Morarji Desai took oath of office. Now, the question basically this time, because we have done this kind of show earlier, and there's been much discussion, so on and so forth. And I'd like to put some new perspectives on that, on the emergency, because there are lots of little facts which are not known to people. So I think it should be put in so that we have a complete picture. As Jagdish just pointed out, how it happened, and will it happen again? These are some of the things that float around and questions. Now, first of all, I'd like to make it clear that emergency was imposed certainly on the 26th June by invoking Article 352 of the Constitution. And I'll just now read it out and show what kind of changes have taken place since the Janata came to power, and we brought in a lot of constitutional amendments to see that such things don't happen in the future. But before that, I'd like to say that emergency was being planned from 1972. These people don't know, most Indians don't know that the idea of declaring a state of emergency began with Kumara Mangalam, who later died in an air crash. So, but the left wing, which was part of Indira Gandhi's group, plus the Soviet Union, they had said, worked out that emergency should be brought in and then legitimized. And after that, India will be a democracy, but it will be kind of a guided democracy. That was the game plan, which began in 1972. And all kinds of things were being worked out and projected. The law minister, Mr. Gokhale, was another leftist. Kumara Mangalam was a steel minister, another leftist. Borua was another person. In fact, he at one stage even headed the party. So all these are pro-Soviet left-wing types. And they were planning to see that this constant elections don't take place. And therefore, to have maybe 7 years for one election to take place, not five. And that it should be, the requirements of who can contest, who can't contest, who will be a political party. All these things were being worked out. The problem was that Raj Narayan had contested against Indira Gandhi in the 1971 elections and lost. And then he filed a case in the High Court saying that this is there'll be a lot of fraudulent activity to enable Indira Gandhi to win, and that's how he lost. And so the case was taken up by his lawyers, Shanti Bhushan, and it went on and on. And on the 12th of June, the High Court, Allahabad High Court, single judge, Jagmohan Lal Sinha, he pronounced that she had violated certain conditions, like her whole platform to address meetings and all were paid for by the government. So these were called technicalities, but the fact is that there were violations, and he set aside her election. Now, it was set aside at the time when JP movement was already had got a huge momentum. I know it for a fact because from day one, JP associated me with it. It was I who brought Nanaji Deshmukh and Jayaprakash Narayan together. Otherwise, Jayaprakash Narayan had a great hostility towards the RSS. And I helped him overcome it, saying that you don't have an organization. The only people who have an organization is RSS. And I would like you to meet Mr. Nanaji and develop a certain friendship. And Nanaji became his fan. Nanaji gave the organization, and JP movement had taken off by then. So on the 12th of June, when this Allahabad High Court decision came, JP was already well prepared organizationally, and he asked Indira Gandhi resign and go, and for that purpose a public meeting was fixed for the 25th of June in Ramlila grounds. And if you see the pictures, you will see me sitting in the front row between JP and Morarji Desai. And people ask me, how did you end up there? You're at that time such a young junior person. It was Nanaji who planted me there, because JP and Morarji Desai had a quarrel on the 25th of June, and over a very silly matter. Morarji was a stickler for time, and Madanlal Khurana, who was the Delhi in charge of Jansang, he put out posters saying 5 o'clock will be the public meeting. And JP said, in the summer, 5 o'clock, I will not come before 8 o'clock. And Morarji then quarrelled. He said, if you give a poster and put a time, you have to abide by it. This lack of indiscipline, this, that, big jhagda took place. I will not come if you do not turn up at 5 o'clock. Morarji told JP. And everybody was flabbergasted. And finally, Nanaji told me, both of these two people have a very high opinion of you. Can you sit with them and bring them together? So that's how I ended up in the front row. And all the pictures which you see of the 25th January public meeting in Ramlila grounds, you'll see me sitting next to JP and Morarji Desai, and on the other side, Nanaji Deshmukh. Of course, Judge Vajpayee had boycotted this whole JP movement. I think he was under pressure from Indira Gandhi, and throughout the emergency also he was under pressure from Indira Gandhi, and he was very much against my going underground and going abroad and so on. So all those things are not material just now. I am not concerned with that. I am concerned with the fact that the emergency was not declared by Mrs. Gandhi because JP had threatened so-and-so, or Morarji Desai had threatened so-and-so. It was a plan by the Soviet lobby to do it from, and the planning was done from 1972. And unfortunately, for all of them, the Allahabad High Court sort of upset the apple cart, and so they had to speedily do this. They were planning to do it actually in 76, but it turned out that they had to do it in 75. So the emergency declaration had nothing materially to do with Mrs. Indira Gandhi's being set aside. It only was the accelerator. It was only the thing that accelerated the whole process. But the fact is that there was a clear-cut plan to finish democracy and introduce a Soviet-style society, political society. So now, that is something that I would like you to clearly understand, that this is not, many people said, all these demonstrations of JP and all, that created the emergency. Nonsense. It was a pre-planned thing which they had to, which they put into action, because they had, they just accelerated the thing because the Allahabad High Court judgment. But it was something that was there, and if it hadn't happened in 1975, 26th June, it would have happened in, as per their plan, sometime in 1975, but 1976. So the sinister plan was unfortunately disrupted by the fact that the Allahabad High Court gave a judgment. Now, when I look at Article 352, which was invoked, I have with me here the amended version. And I'll just sort of put it out. It says it's Article 352. It's part 8 of part 18, of the Constitution. And it says, if the president is satisfied that a grave emergency exists where the security of India or any part of the territory thereof is threatened, whether by war or external aggression, and then in the bracket originally was a disturbance, internal disturbance, which meant anything and everything, which is what Mrs. Gandhi utilized. But the Janata government, which came subsequently, replaced that internal disturbance with the word armed rebellion. So now nobody can use Article 352 just like that. There's a disturbance, and therefore we can put in an emergency, all the fundamental rights, everything was suspended. So therefore, the emergency provision is something that we have corrected in the Janata period. And so when you say, can it happen again? Let me say at this stage that it can happen again, but it had better be something extraordinary, and it's the circumstances that change. We can have a subtle emergency. I would say today, the way the Narendra Modi and Mr. Amit Shah are going about, there's a kind of a subtle fear that has gone across the media, across the academics, even in the courts, and there's no declaration of emergency, and you can't declare it because it has to be an armed rebellion. There's no armed rebellion, so they can't invoke that. But in effective terms, we need again. Let me say, we may have to bring in another amendment to ensure that even a subtle emergency cannot be imposed unless it is backed by the following A, B, C, D, reasons. Because I am witnessing, I saw a bit of it when Sonia Gandhi brought in that Hindu terror business. And that was also part of the creeping emergency that they wanted to do. And I find that Mr. Modi also, and Mr. Amit Shah together, they have induced a lot of fear in our society. And I think it's time we address that. And I would like to see people who have some guts to come out and openly express it. And hopefully that somehow they will change their mind. I certainly would like to see the RSS in particular. I've been interacting with the RSS and mentioning about these three matters. I think we have seen some of it in Gujarat earlier when the riots took place. But those are things taking us very far afield. It's not the right time for me to deal with it. But I will say that, can it happen again? Yes, of course, but in a new form, it won't be like that old one we saw. So therefore, I would like to say that Article 352 has been amended to the point where nobody can utilize it because it's an armed rebellion. It is not like the old days, an internal disturbance. That's gone. Now you have to show that there's an armed rebellion, and that's very tough to show. But that will depend on the fact that the Supreme Court, the media, all of them are gutsy enough to challenge it if somebody tried to bring in through a subdued version of the emergency. Now, when the emergency was declared, I was I was in that meeting of the June 25th, and I had gone home. Before going home, JP asked me to have dinner with him, so I had dinner with him, and it was till midnight. And then I went home. I went to sleep. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a phone call. It was a very strange phone call. It was from the in those days I used to live in my private house in Greater Kailash. So that phone call was from the Greater Kailash police station, and the SHO phoned me up and he said, "Swami Sahab, aap ghar mein hain?" So I told him, "Kya baat kar rahe ho aap? Aap 4 baje subah phone karke mujhse poochte ho ghar par hai?" नहीं, मैं यही सोच रहा था कि आप घर में हैं तो मैं आपको मिलने के लिए आऊंगा. नाउ दैट गेव मी द हिंट दैट ही द पुलिस वाज गिविंग मी सेड गेट आउट रन अवे बिकॉज आई हैव टू अरेस्ट यू. एंड सो इमीडिएटली आई टोल्ड माय वाइफ दैट लिसन देयर समथिंग वियर्ड दैट हैज हैपेंड एंड फॉर सम For a day or two, I'm going to go and hide somewhere. So I packed up a few clothes, and I went off to hide in somebody's house in Gold Market, and to see what is developing, which I only came to know next morning when Mrs. Gandhi at 8 a.m. addressed the television, the radio. I don't think she addressed the television. But it was a radio address, and then I came to know that an emergency had been imposed. then after that, during the half day, I was wondering, what am I going to do? I can't be living in this man's house, whose house I've come in. He'll get nervous, he'll get afraid, and then the police will start hunting me because I'm missing in Greater Kailash. So luckily for me, Nanaji Deshmukh sent a swayamsevak and said, "Please come right away, wherever you are. I want to meet you." So I went, and there Nanaji told me that he and I should be together. And Nanaji didn't know how to drive a car, but I was brought up in America for a good part, and America, you're nothing if you don't know how to drive a car. So therefore, he wanted me to be used as a driver. And for the next 2 months before Nanaji got arrested, I drove Nanaji around. Nanaji created a tremendous network. I mean, unbelievable, the genius this man had. I'm sorry that his heart broke in 1980 and he quit politics and went away to the villages of Uttar Pradesh. And I don't want to get into that just now. It's got nothing to do with the emergency. But the fact is that Nanaji initiated me into this whole emergency thing. And when he got arrested, Nanaji was appointed by JP as the chairman of the committee to fight the emergency. Lok Sangharsh Samiti, it was called. And he was the chairman, and I was his secretary. And then Nanaji got arrested. So therefore, I don't know what to do. And the thing actually collapsed in nowhere. But very soon, RSS donated their general secretary, Madhav Mule, absolute genius and a wonderful human being. And he took over. And the first thing he said to me is that he had got a message from JP that it is a waste of time, waste of talent to keep Swami in India. Tell him to go abroad and somehow find a way and go abroad and campaign there about how because Mrs. Gandhi had made out the myth that only smugglers are in jail, thieves are in jail, and crooked politicians are in jail. Then all that rubbish was all. So that had gone all over the world. And JP wanted me. He said, you go to America, England also if necessary, and Canada also if necessary. And from there on their television, particularly BBC and the Voice of America, which is heard by Indians here in India, you see if you can get into and give do an analysis. Fortunately for me, Harvard connection was there, so I got easy connections to all these BBC and Voice of America and the French French radio and so on. So I began propagating it. In the meantime, the Swayamsevaks who were in America, London, Canada, they all created a unit, and we started holding public meetings. Mahesh Mehta was the leader in that. Jitendra Kumar, who's still in Washington, was another brilliant organizer. So these are the kinds of things. So we built a whole network, and very soon, Mrs. Gandhi's name was mud in the United States, and the public began demanding the restoration of democracy. So I had one problem, and before I hand over to you people for comments, and then we can take it forward. I had one problem. I had reached United States. I had reached London on the 7th of January 1976. That is, the emergency was 75, and then by the time I reached London, it was 1976. And I didn't have any new material. I kept on saying the same thing. It became very stale, and people said, if there is an underground, if people don't like the emergency, because we hear the trains are running on time, officers are coming to office on time, and people are very happy, there's no corruption, there's this, that, all kinds of rubbish, counter arguments. So I had this in my mind now, how do I now continue like this? I mean, I've done 4 or 5 months in the United States, it's getting stale, I've got no new material. And in India, everything was become silent. George Fernandez got arrested. Nanaji got arrested. So many people were getting arrested. So it soon became clear that there's just nobody. So what do I do? So at that time, suddenly the thought occurred to me that why not I go back to India and perhaps appear in Parliament, and then disappear again, and come back to America again. Is it possible? And then I started plotting that, and everybody was against it. I got even messages from Mother Amule, if you do it, it'll be huge, huge, but we don't want to help you at all, because then you get caught, then the entire chain will be caught. And so you do this, get it done, turn up in Bombay, and after that I take responsibility to see that you go abroad again. So Mother Mule put this condition, and I agreed with him, and so I decided I must do this. And I don't want to go into the details how I got into India. I literally came by commercial aircraft, landed in Delhi airport, and walked out of the airport airport without being detected. Now, how did that happen? Well, I mean, it's a long story, maybe some other time. But on the 10th of August 1976, I got hold of my wife. You would be surprised to know that after I reached Delhi, I moved into my own house and lived there for 5 days. Nobody had a clue. Why? Because I went in a dress like a Sardarji and rang the doorbell, previously agreed with my wife that she'll open it and say, kya baat hai? And I will say, aapka television kharab hai, complaint aaya hai to. And so she would and let me enter. And fortunately, the police, which was seated outside my house and outside the gate, they had a badli. So the badli people were not told that some Sardarji has gone in and is not coming out. So I find out what the hell is going on. They were all very bored with the whole thing. So they just, the badli took place. So 5 days I was in my own house. And on the fifth day, I drove my car to the parliament and told my wife, when I dropped her in Vijay Chowk, and I said, if you can just remember that when, if after about 15 minutes, you go and see whether the car is still parked there, it means I've been arrested. If there's no car, it means I've taken the car and parked it in Birla Mandir parking lot. So you can pick it up from there. So that's how the whole thing was beautifully arranged. I managed to reach Bombay, and Madhurao Mule arranged a car by which I went to Nepal. The Nepal king was a student when I was teaching at Harvard, and he arranged to see that I fly out, and I ended, landed up in London, and then from there to Washington. So, I mean, that shattered Mrs. Gandhi completely. And every newspaper in the United States, England, had, oh, Mrs. Gandhi's sham emergency made out of mud and all that. So she was mad as hell. And God knows, they attached my properties, everything. I mean, but it was too late. And Mrs. Gandhi later on told me, because I had become friends with Rajiv Gandhi, that the day I went into Parliament disappeared, she said to everybody, you all have been telling me lies that the country likes what I'm doing, and this couldn't have happened if that was so. So elections are inevitable. And she herself told me that, but for my coming to Parliament and going, she would never have declared an election, which of course she lost. And therefore, emergency went. So now I've given you a broad picture. I would like to say to you that some of the people who deserve real credit is RSS, because their organization was all over. And that's why we won mostly in North India, because RSS was there only in North India. And the Tamil Nadu, and there was not much RSS. So there, Mrs. Gandhi won hands down. But up in the north, because of the RSS organization, we were able to find candidates. We were able to find abilities to, you know, put up a show and so on. And ultimately, the public responded, and we defeated Mrs. Gandhi. Now, I would add this much, that there were a lot of people who were highly discouraging. One is Vajpayee. Of course, after the emergency was over, he was all over the place talking, writing poems on emergency and so on. But he never went to jail. People think he went to jail. No, he... And the first day he was picked up in Bangalore. He had gone for a committee meeting of Parliament, and he was picked up. And the next day, Mrs. Gandhi intervened, and Mrs. Kaul, the live-in lady of Mr. Vajpayee, she appealed to Mrs. Gandhi, and so Mrs. Gandhi put him on payroll. And Ram Bahadur Rai has written a book about how he went to see Vajpayee, and what Vajpayee said, that you guys are all made a mess of the whole thing. You have to now, JP has landed us into a lot of soup and this and that, all kinds of things. With me also, he was constantly writing letters saying, better you surrender. Because of you, she's not lifting the emergency. But Madhava Mule said, that to hell with it. Just give me his letter and I'll tear it up. And so there were very many people who had cracked up. But I must say, for the youngsters, particularly of the RSS, Vishwanti Parishad, I mean, Vidyarthi Parishad and so on, extremely very good. And Modi today may say that he was wearing a sardar and this and that. I never saw anything of him. And he was only 24 years old. I mean, now what is he doing? Who's he bluffing? But he had no role to play. There are a lot of people who claim that, but you know, it's okay. But the fact is that it's the cadre of RSS. For example, Jagdish knows there's a guy called Baliga in Bombay, and he used to come with the newspapers and every evening with letters which Rokshna, my wife, had written, giving me the update and so on. And he took such a big risk. There were people like that all over the country. And let us not forget them. It's easy today, some people claiming, oh, I played a role in the emergency. The only people who played a role in the RSS organization, all the big leaders, Nana Gore and XYZ, all these socialists, everybody, they all had chickened out. But the youngsters were the ones who played a role. Today, I would say, to conclude, that we must understand that that emergency was explicit. Today, we have a kind of osmosis that is taking place. That is, you know, it's not explicit, but there is a suffocation of democracy that's taking place. And we must all pledge not to allow that to happen. Mrs. Sonia Gandhi started this whole thing, all this Hindu terror, this, that nonsense, and nearly finished democracy. And then we defeated her. But today, again, I find the same thing, that we are targeted if we don't agree with Mr. Modi or Mr. Amit Shah. And you get the targeting done in very subtle ways. So, but you got to fight it. Yeah. And we should also do that. So over to you, Jagdish.
Thank you, Dr. Swami, for that interesting insight, especially what led to the emergency and thereafter your experiences and some hint of what's happening at present in whatever form. Dr. Swami, also please tell us that during the emergency and especially after the emergency, there were a lot of people who perhaps jumped onto the bandwagon and wanted to claim credit. You have just now even mentioned. But what was the role of these people like Devkant Barua, who called Indira is India and India is Indira, all that type of slogans. And especially there were some party men within the Congress also who opposed the emergency. Could you just tell us a little bit of that thing? Because what is important is, although Congress party, anti-democratic moves they did, but there were some people within the party also that opposed Indira Gandhi and perhaps got arrested. If you can show us some light on their internal party voices that were there, with maybe a small voice, but what about that? Could you just enlighten our viewers, especially the younger generation?
Well, the person who had to go to jail for saying this is wrong, this putting JP in jail is very wrong, etc., was Chandrasekhar and and his associates. And she put him in jail. She put him in solitary confinement in somewhere in Haryana. He is subjected to torture. He's written, I think Chandrasekhar has written his volumes, his diary, so to speak. Morarji was the person who, I can say, shattered, rattled, whatever you want to call it, Mrs. Gandhi. Because JP had his kidneys were knocked out. And he was in hospital, and he was of the view, why am I putting everybody to this kind of torture? Let me see if I can speak to her and some way to bring her around. Bajpai, of course, was a total surrender. So, in fact, the second time I had to go abroad was Mother of Mule told me that Mrs. Indira Gandhi and the leaders of the opposition, they are meeting to work out a compromise by which the emergency can be lifted. But the first thing that has to be delivered is you have to be delivered to her. So I said, I have no problem, deliver, hand me over to. He said, no, after that, your kidneys will be removed, your eyes will be punctured. You don't know how much hatred there is for you. So you leave. And now, and so I had to leave the second time, not because I wanted to leave, but Mother of Mule told me, you have to leave, otherwise you will not be dead, but you will be certainly maimed for the rest of your life. And these are the things they are planning against you and so on. And she, Mrs. Gandhi, had gone berserk with me because I made her look silly, walking into parliament, making a speech and buzzing off. So she was a laughing stock all over the world. So therefore, I would say, the underground, there's just no question. It was the RSS, and particularly led by Mother of Mule, Tattopan Thengri. Nanaji, of course, got arrested. All these top men. They all went on building the organization. We got I'll have to remember them. And if any time I write a book, because I'm not writing a book on it, because I'll have to write the whole story. But when I do write a book, I will mention all this. Moropan Pingle, for example, he was a man who boosted your morale. All these young swam sevaks like you yourself met Baliga, who braved everything and Baliga. Brought me papers and letters. Huh?
Jagdish, yeah. Baliga from Villeparle.
Villeparle, yeah. So, I mean, the valor of the young people is really what I believe is something that we should record sometime in the future. So, I would say amongst the leaders, Chandrasekhar stood out by criticizing Mrs. Gandhi for putting JP in jail. And she put him in jail instead and in solitary confinement. But Mrs. Gandhi ultimately called for elections because of the obstinacy of Mr. Morarji Desai. And by the way, Morarji Desai was kept in solitary confinement. He was 80 years old and they kept him in solitary confinement. And then finally, she sent emissaries after emissaries. He said, no, withdraw the emergency or I'm not coming out. You, let me die in peace here, but I will not agree to it. Others all sort of agree. Nana Gore, Bajpai, of course, was in a surrender mood perpetually. All these people. But Morarji didn't, you know, refused. He said, no, what you have done is against all that we fought the British, against the British. Now you withdraw that or I am not coming out. And it is that. Charan Singh came out on parole, but he never buckled under. I mean, to his credit, he had a health problem, so he came out. But he continued to maintain that you have to withdraw the emergency. So, I would say amongst these people, Morarji is number one, Chandrasekhar is number two, and Charan Singh is number three. They were in the forefront. They were the people who made it possible for the emergency to go.
Dr. Swami, you mentioned that, you know, given the current situation today in India, there's kind of a sense of fear. So what do you think would trigger that, you know, or what would be the right combination that this emergency could be triggered again? This is a question from one of the viewers. So I'm just saying, putting it in perspective as to what you said before. So what are the ingredients that could trigger this again, and what can we do literally? And you mentioned some amendments have to be made. So based on that, I would love to have your answer.
No, you see, the issue is if judges cannot stand to the government, then one pillar is collapsed. If the bureaucrats are ready to say and do anything the ministers or the prime minister's office says, then that's another pillar that is breaking up. We need all...
Even then, the media, for now, then, basically.
No, media and intellectuals. Mm. I mean, the intellectuals are all collapsing. They're afraid. They get threatened. I don't get threatened, but I do get silly tweets, which you people have been noticing, which I, of course, enjoy and delete. But the fact is that there is a lot of intimidation that is going on. And if you start succumbing to that, it will encourage people. They'll say, why have elections at all? Everybody knows that Modi is the most powerful man, most popular. He's thought of very highly all over the world, and all this great world leader, and so on. So I'm saying that we must have to be very clear that democracy requires continuous support. And that continuous support has been written by so many people in the United States when in the 1700s and 1800s when democracy was under threat. So we have to do it also. And these are the things that I think every pillar should be encouraged to take a stand. People tell me, you have taken a stand, so Modi will never make you a member of parliament. I said, who asked him to make me a member of parliament? I don't need to be a parliament maker so to lose my self-respect. But I also know that all those people who have crawled before him, they too have been kicked around. So, I mean, say the issue is to be a good boy. That's the most dangerous advice that you can give to anybody.
But sadly, Dr. Swami, even the opposition is literally non-existent these days.
Yeah,
as you said, the intellectuals have not been already not only kicked out or made useless within the party, in within BJP, but even the opposition, it's been the same thing. They're falling to the entire Buddhu family. So what do you expect? Sadly, even the opposition is not in a position to even put up a credible fight.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that that evil man called Chidambaram, my God, what he did with that Hindu terror. How many lives he ruined? How many, there are some general, colonels of our army who have been through hell. Then there have been Sadhvi who had to, suffer being stripped in the by the police. Yeah, I mean, all these things. Modi is not the author of this. Modi is just an executor of what was already started.
Yeah, and sadly, even in the past 6 months, what we have seen played out in a way, there's not been either an attempt to have a firm hand to deal with the situation, allow it to fester and keep bring it up into a position where there is a lot of riots and things going all over the country. And that's perfect ingredient to bring in another kind of emergency.
That's right. That's a good excuse.
Arvindji, go ahead.
Dr. Swami, I have 3-4 points. My first point is about Indira Gandhi's decision after the 12th June judgment. Kuldeep Nair, who was a journalist, who wrote a book called The Judgment earlier, in his autobiography, he has written that Mrs. Gandhi had actually decided to resign. But it was Sanjay Gandhi and the Siddharth Shankar Ray. Siddharth Shankar Ray, who was her legal advisor and leader from the West Bengal of his party, Sanjay Gandhi and Siddharth Shankar Ray persuaded her to impose the emergency, number one. Number two, Jagdish had asked this question about the Congress leaders. After the elections were declared, the large number of Congress leaders, including Babu Jagjeevan Ram, Hemati Nandan Baguna, and others who formed this part called Congress for Democracy. During the emergency, they did not speak like Chandrasekhar did. But after the emergency was lifted, before the Janata Party came into existence for the elections, the Congress for Democracy became actually a part of the Janata Party or an alliance member of the Janata Party. Number three, the issue about the election that Mrs. Gandhi lost. It was during the excesses, due to excesses during the emergency, and especially in North, I can say vouch for Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, others, where the Congress was totally wiped out. It was one issue called Nasbandi. Nasbandi was actually forced sterilization of the people, and each member of the government department were given some quota. Itne nasbandi ke case aapko leke aane, otherwise aapki naukri chali jayegi. Teachers were put on the job. So it was Sanjay Gandhi who had introduced this idea. And along with Mrs. Gandhi's 20-point program, Sanjay Gandhi had 4-point program. So we used to say ki bete ke 4, maa ke 20, dono milkar 420. This was the slogan going on those days. So it was Sanjay Gandhi who also had a role to play in defeat of the Congress post-emergency. And number four, I want to ask you, after Mrs. Gandhi lost the Allahabad High Court, she had actually introduced an amendment in the month of August 75 that any election petition against the President, Vice President, Speaker and Prime Minister cannot be handled by a court. It will be handled by a special body. And this was introduced by Mr. Gokhale, who was the law minister. So I would like, since you are knowledgeable about these things more than anybody else, would like to mention these things.
Well, what Kuldeep Nair says is rubbish. I was on a train after entering parliament and then disappearing. I was on a passenger train from Delhi railway station to Mathura on my way to change to GT and go to Nagpur, and from Nagpur go to Bombay. So in the train, nobody was talking about Nasbandi. They were only talking, kisi se mil nahi sakte, hamare MLA gayab ho gaya, koi kisko hum apni musibat bataye. So that's complete contradiction, because you know, people try to play down the democratic character of India. And yes, I do berate the South Indians that despite your being so educated, you voted for Indira Gandhi. I can understand UP Walas wanting to vote for Indira Gandhi, which they didn't. But the South voted for Indira Gandhi, and there was no reason why they should have voted. But in the North, I remember they very clearly each time said, kisi se baat hi nahi kar sakte, mera MLA se ka, mera, main usko pahunchta, uske paas pahunch bhi nahi sakta hun. Nobody said, nasbandi ho gai, ye ho gai, nothing. I didn't hear in that entire train. So this is something which they made it easy for people that Indira Gandhi did not remove democracy, but that stupid Sanjay put all this Nasbandi into the thing, and that's how it is. Otherwise, people would have accepted. See, after all, South has accepted. All right. So I would not go by that. second thing you had said is
CMD,
about
CMD. Congress for Democracy.
Well, I mean, listen, at that time, Jagjeevan Ram was the one who moved the resolution for the state of emergency.
Right.
And we brought him out. And, you know, he didn't even say, I'm sorry, I apologize for doing nothing. We brought him in. And one of the people who have fought it is Mr. Vajpayee, because Jagjeevan Ram was for Vajpayee being made Deputy Prime Minister, which neither Charan Singh nor nor Moraji accepted. So I don't go over all that. Why did we take that? They were already taking the big deal. I don't think that it fundamentally changed the character of the people's thinking because Jagjeevan Ram came. It's only the thing is that the atmosphere of fear were watered down a little. So therefore, there are all these ways where the Indian people's commitment to democracy is being watered down and to be made into something else. And we have to be beware of it. I think it was people understood that this is what we need. This is the democracy that, you know, for us is that is what is will make us safe. And so they voted for democracy.
I think, Arvind, it is about an hour. You may wind up because there are a lot of questions, but I think each topic is as interesting as the other.
I think Ramesh had hinted about that question, because some of the question, when in the morning we were tweeting that Dr. Swami is going to talk about emergency, the many people who asked on the Twitter that what about undeclared emergency of today? And the ED is being misused, the CBI is being misused, people are put into fear. Akhilesh Yadav did not even go to Ajamgarh to campaign. And people say Akhilesh Yadav was told not to go. Mayawati was told not to campaign for her candidate in Rampur. I mean, Ajamgarh. So these are the things which suggest that there is some kind of fear among the politicians, if not general public.
We're just seeing a repetition, Dr. Arvindji. It's just we are slowly seeing a repetition. I guess they're learning the lesson from, oh, it worked, then let's again try to create a sense of fear and see what happens. because once you start losing control, the best thing people start using is fear, right? I mean, at the end of the day, when you lose democratic and really a good approach with the people, I mean, we see, because I think the fear sets in because they're losing, having lost Punjab, and losing one election of the year or the other is causing some kind of an uneasiness. It's not that earlier the aura was Modi the undefeatable, you know, so that is getting
even UP, the margins have been very small. If you look at the UP figures,
and UP is purely because of Yogi, Dr. Swami. I mean, nothing more,
whatever it is, but even he has a very narrow margins.
Yeah, and I think that is creating a sense. I mean, look at what we are seeing in Tamil Nadu, the disintegration of the one opposition party, ADMK. Look at that, the way that has disintegrated, and which has led to what we see today, Dr. Swami. I mean, openly threatening, and you've got a case coming up. Probably we'll discuss one of these days about this this genocide of Brahmins. What kind of nonsense that is? I mean, you've made inept opposition in every state that, you know, you have some kind of an alliance or thing in. At a national level or a state level, you know, even if you look at the states that they are no one, be it West Bengal, you know, there are very few states left that can really oppose the BJP in some form, shape or the other. So in a way, it is, as Arvind said, it is a soft emergency that, you know, we don't realize. And it is being masked by pure hype and marketing day in and day out. You know, just tom-tomming, Mann Ki Baat, and this and that, and just people just getting uneducated people and IT cell idiots, doing non-stop 24/7 marketing, a bunch of monkeys sitting in some place. That's what it is. You know, it's just no opposition. Like, even this comment that we make or whatever we discuss tomorrow, Dr. Swami, you'll be termed, you're a CIA agent, you're a KGB agent, Chinese agent, every agent possible. You know, so that it is the sad reality, because educated brain is idiots, you know. And as you always said, it's the uneducated people who know facts in the field, they vote for the right people. These educated morons are the ones that elected Indira Gandhi back then. They're going to repeat the same thing now. Sorry, Arvind, I had to conclude in a different way.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. I mean, emergency is an issue which this generation does not know much of, and especially people who are born after 90s, they have no inkling of what people had seen and experienced. And it is people like you who can bring it to allied people and bring these things to light. And our key question today was how to prevent it to happening from the future. And naturally, they have to be people with a spine, who can stand against the dictatorial regime, and those who can oppose the negative things being done by the government, whether it is BJP government or whether it is any other government for that matter. And it is people who have to stand up against the dictatorial policies of the government. Thank you, Dr. Swami, for spending time and recalling the black days of 1975 to 1977. You, of course, had mentioned very briefly, maybe in some other time in August, we have discussed in the past that how you appeared in the parliament and disappeared again. I remember in earlier episode, we had discussed this about this, and we had a special program in Habitat Center in Delhi. Thank you, Jagdish. Thank you, Ramesh Swami. Thanks, the technical team led by Ashish Chetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas, Naval Gul, Vishal Mehta, Najesh Nair. We will be meeting again on 3rd of July next Sunday for 162nd episode of Words of Wisdom Gyan Ganga with Dr. Swami, with a new topic and maybe perhaps a new guest. Thank you very much, viewers, for supporting us. We'll be meeting next Sunday, 8 p.m. in Gyan Ganga. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Dhanyavaad. Thank you.